This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Beto Duran special. This is the best Christmas song. It makes me happy again. You know what? I'm sorry about all the grievances stuff. Just had to complain.
Should we bump that back?
Yeah, let's dial it back. This just made me happy again.
Okay.
Should we talk happy things, or do you want to hear about Greg's rant?
No, we can push that.
All right, let's push that, because I know all the people really want to know.
Sure that'll hold, Greg?
I love how she says, do you want to hear about Greg's rants? Do you really want to hear what he has to say?
Yours is really stupid.
Pretty interesting.
Really stupid. The whole thing was what it means. No, let's just move on. Lakers trade targets or something.
Come on. This makes you happy. Olé! Masita. This is so good.
I like the one where the kid like walks downstairs and sees mommy kissing Santa Claus and like seems disturbed, really genuinely scarred.
Like, why would mommy kiss Santa Claus?
And I always like, I've never paid super close attention to that. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, and she's like, that's like dad dress, or is she really making out with Santa Claus? Do we know?
Just confusing, and inappropriate. Yeah.
Does he have time for that?
No. No, not at all.
It's like score babes on the way to delivering presents around.
Yeah, no, just don't think too much about it.
Homewrecker, Santa.
I mean, he doesn't have time to stop and eat the cookies and milk you leave him either. Yeah, that'd be like scarring for a kid.
I mean, that's probably dad, right? But if it's not, like, I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus and dad was over there is a very different song.
And then dad kicked his ass.
And like, whoa, now that's scarring.
Dad beat up Santa Claus after that. And we got no presents for 5 years. He didn't want to come back.
I may have to look up the lyrics to this to find out what the backstory
it's
is.
It's kind of weird. Hey, we're talking Happy Talk.
Yep.
Happy Talk.
Go for it.
Okay. Candace Parker had one of the best, I don't want to call it coming out posts, but so amazing today. Candace Parker, who plays for the Chicago Sky, won a championship, was also obviously, you know, a star for the Los Angeles Sparks for a long time, posted today that she and her wife are expecting a child. And it was like beautiful, like, oh, we're celebrating our 2-year anniversary. We had a private ceremony 2 years ago. We've been married this whole time. I just didn't tell you guys. And now my wife is pregnant and we're expecting our second child. And it was like, that is how you do it. That is how you do it. My goodness. Now, listen, there are a lot of us who knew that they were together. I didn't know she was married, but I knew they were together. And that I've always thought in sports, like, that is for you to say, not someone to report on. But the way that she did it was just so beautiful. And in a way that it's like, yes, this is the situation and this is what I'm telling you. And we're not going to go back up and make this about me coming out or anything like that. I'm just going to say this is what I'm doing now and this is my life and my truth. That was just a beautiful post. And it is like the best way I've ever seen anybody do that.
Do you think we're at a place where that story is broadly seen as something people like, not just, I mean, look, we're LA. She is, you know, has a legacy
iconic
here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Candace Parker could do a, you know.
By the way, is anybody having a better year than Candace Parker?
She's doing pretty well.
I mean, schooling Shaq every night on TNT.
Yeah, she's got
winning the WNBA championship in this like epic series against Diana Taurasi, vanquishing the old rival.
Yeah.
And then everything she's done, like, off the court.
She's got a lot of goodwill built up here. You know, it's a pretty liberal town anyway. Like, people are like, oh, Candace Parker. Yeah. Didn't know she was married. Didn't know she was married to a woman. Like, hey, she's having a baby. Congratulations. You know, what do you want at Smashburger? You know, it's like, people get excited and it's happy news. And then they move on. And I mean that in a constructive way.
It's awesome.
Do you think we're at a place now where, like,
I think
in Indianapolis, they're reacting the same way?
Probably, you know? Well, I don't know. I hope so.
In, you know, ESPN Omaha.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I think it's changing so fast now. And like, I, you know what's great about it is like, you know, like when Mason decided to come out, it was a really big deal for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I must have talked to him about it a year or two of like how he was going to do it. We even like did one where he changed his mind. Like we were going to record a podcast and he was just going to talk about it. And then he was going to release it. And that was, and he was going to do a story and then changed his mind about that. And then it just ended up being very, I think he came out when Israel Gutierrez came out. I think Izzy
sounds like Mace. You know, somebody else is doing it.
Yeah, and then he had Izzy come in the studio with him.
Yeah,
yeah. But it was like it was a big deal for Mace because he was like worried about his reputation. How would people look at him differently? What was it like? And I was like, no, Mace, this is a different era now. Like I grew up, I'm younger than you, but I'm not that much younger. I mean. And I remember, like, in high school, I knew a few people who came out, but it was very quiet, and it was hard for them. Whereas, like, now, I mean, it's like, do you remember when Ellen came out on air?
I wasn't watching that day, but yes, it was a big deal.
It was a giant moment in television
history.
How many
years ago was that?
Not as long as you think. Like, I think 20, 25 years ago.
That's a long time. I feel 25 years now is a long time.
I know. But I think in professional women's sports, especially for somebody, I mean, I would say Candace Parker, who else is Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, like who we've just seen some incredible, I don't want to say normalization of it because that's not even the right word. It's just like Sue Bird has come out. Obviously, she and Megan Rapinoe are like the golden couple. Diana Taurasi in the middle of the finals last year was having
a. Is the word you don't like because it implies
like
that there's something abnormal.
Yeah.
But it is. I don't know, mainstream, whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not the right word.
No, it's just because there was, again, any word that implies that there was something wrong with it to begin with is the wrong word.
Right.
But acceptance is, it's just, and I feel like it is, and I get why Steve could look at, you know, Ellen could look at some of these, you know, other couples, you know, particularly with women and still be like, but I don't know, maybe it's different. I'm a man in sports radio, like, it's seen as like less manly and all these, but I think generally speaking, we've reached a place where people don't care.
Well, I think
like,
they
even
care.
With athletes. I think they, but even with,
but
athletes,
I don't think it's like a. I don't think it's something that you need to like. It's not a. It's just sort of like they care. They're happy. It's more like people are just happy for you, and like that's
they don't care. They don't dislike it in a negative way.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure. I how like when Carl Nassib on the on the Raiders,
that was a big deal.
That was a big deal. Active player.
Yeah. But now the next five players that come out will not be as big of a deal.
I apologize for not following the story that closely, but has most of the public reaction, obviously very positive to that, because most people who aren't positive keep it to themselves.
No, but, just check Twitter.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't positive. I mean, there was a lot of positivity, but there was a lot of negativity, too.
Again, the public reaction that people are willing to put their name attached to it, who aren't, you know, Mike7983whatever on Twitter. Like, that's the part that I'm wondering about. Like, people won't say it, but, you know, they're still going to go to, you know, the stadium in Vegas and cheer for the Raiders. They're not going to give up their season tickets because the defensive end is gay.
Yeah.
But are they going to really sit there and sort of fold their hands when he has a sack and be like, I'm not cheering for that.
Yeah, I mean, no.
It's probably more of that.
I think we're really turning a corner with this, in the sense that, like, I saw that and I was like, good for you, Candace. First of all, that is how you do it. Like, you're just like, hey, 2 years ago we got married and none of you guys knew.
I thought I genuinely thought I missed the news. Like, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, Greg and I,
we just skipped over the part.
We both said at the same time when we saw
that most people would define as the news and
I
went
didn't
straight
know she
to
was
her
married.
The news she wants that's the most important, which is they're having a baby.
Right.
Good for you. That is the way you control your own story. Good for you, Candace Parker. That was awesome.
There's a lot going on. There
just
was
like
a lot
you're like,
going
I thought I skipped
post.
Over the, and I was like, oh, here's the wedding dress photo from 2 years ago from a private ceremony nobody knew about. Excellent. And secondly, like, here's the beautiful pregnancy photos of her and her wife with Layla in the back. I mean, this, like, that is how you do that. Woo, good for her.
I was trying to go back and look and see what.
It's a happy day. If you're on like WNBA Twitter, are you on? No, you're not, Greg. Like me, I'm on WNBA Twitter. It's just so happy, and it just totally changed my mood around, because I was like, you know, upset about nothing. I was upset about how cold it was and rainy and traffic in the rain and people don't know how to drive. And I was like, eh, I can get over all that. It's a happy day.
So is this the news that got you being like, I don't want to do any of this other stuff?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Does that actually hit you? Well, partially is because I know Candace.
Right.
And I know like this is a really big, I mean, she's really happy. And one, they won a title this year. So it's like, it's just nice to see somebody who went through, I don't know, her last 3 or 4 years in LA were kind of rough. So it's nice to see her professionally.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a personal relationship with Candace Parker. I've seen her play. She's flipping amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, my basic reaction was, I didn't know she was married.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know she was married to a woman. Huh.
Yeah.
You know, I just went on WNBA Twitter, and it says, not the Sky getting their rings on opening night against the Sparks. You know that? The Sky. So Candace Parker is going to get her ring against the Sparks.
Yeah, WNBA creative scheduling.
Wow. That's actually a strong move.
Strong.
I like that move.
They've done a lot of that.
They do that. Yeah, they're good at that.
They've sort of low-key WNBA is really... made some big strides over the last
WNBA is popping right now.
Really
like they
is.
Have like it used to just be like all the UConn girls like, oh, Maya Moore, you know, like everybody's great, but they needed a deeper roster of stars, and then they needed to like not be afraid to let your stars be interesting, right? And not just be good. And so like for a long time I think the storyline was like Maya Moore's great, and Sue Bird is great, and Brown Stewart's great, and it's like, okay, that's not a storyline. That's not something that gets fans interested. That so and so is good. Is Diana gonna win another one? Like storylines are like rivalry between the Sparks and the Sky, and happened to Candace Parker in LA when Derek Fisher benched her in the starters. Right?
You need people to see the games. You need because that there's a rivalry there doesn't matter if people aren't watching enough. You reach sort of a critical mass of people who are watching something, and then they understand that the rivalry is there.
Yeah,
and they can go and do it like you know. A few years ago, when the Grizzlies and the Clippers hated each other, like
people watched,
like, right? Because you had that built-in audience. Oh, look at this thing! Like, I don't need somebody to tell me there's some negative energy going on here that makes this game exciting. And what they've been able to do, and it's the point isn't you know the ratings compared to the NFL. It's the ratings compared to themselves and whatever. Like people are watching. More people are watching, and more people talk about it. It's more people on social. You see more NBA pros showing up at games and kind of. Not that it requires that sort of validation or should, but it helps. Like all of these things, put it on people's radar and they watch the game. And when you watch the games, you kind of get the point.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, congratulations then.
Yeah. See, we talked women's sports on the show. People were interested, right? Greg?
Yes, very.
This is me pushing my agenda.
It was pushing your agenda.
Just grabbing the mic. We're doing this.
It made you happy, so I
it
like
me
I
happy.
Like a
on
happy
the day
moment.
Of happiness. That's what we're doing.
Well, I mean, there's so much like, oh gosh, no. Like the Rams shutting down their facility and the Lakers team playing.
Yeah, we're gonna we got to get to. We'll talk about THT and explain what's going on and what it means and you know the how it could impact the Lakers in the rotation as they start. He's in the protocols. No news yet if anybody else is for the Lakers, but it is as they say going around the NBA.
And the NFL. I mean, Sean McVay was like, gave this very somber press conference. They're all staying away and working
from
home.
Odell
for
Beckham
3 days.
Jr. landed, correct? Yeah. Greg, in the protocols today.
So did Jordan Fuller. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, so at least that happened after the game.
True that.
I hope everybody's okay, but at least it happened after.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Browns, I think, are down 9 players.
Yeah. Eight or nine guys.
They have 2 starting offensive linemen left.
You need more 5, right? Usually.
Well, I mean, they have backups.
Okay.
They're not going to have to play with, like, the starting cornerback tackle. Like, they have backups, but the starters are indisposed. So, yeah, like it is becoming a growing issue again across sports, college sports impacted as well. And we'll get to some of that stuff. But before we do, I have a question about the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw that I need you people to answer for me because I don't know the answer. We'll do that next. Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne in for John and Steve, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
God, that movie makes every single time it makes me cry.
Bing bong.
Bing bong. Mm-hmm.
I'm ignoring you.
You shouldn't do that.
I'm ignoring the bing bong.
Bing bong.
Brian Kamenetsky, Ramona Shelburne, in for John and Steve, Mason and Ireland show, 710 ESPN. The beginning, like, baseball is on hold right now. That is, it is,
yeah,
officially,
whatever we want to call it, stupid lockout.
Right? They're locked out. The owners have said no mas.
What's the point? Like, the idea was you lock them out so that you can put some urgency on negotiations, but they're not even going to negotiate until after Christmas, the holidays, until after the new year.
Wants to do it.
It's like, let's just do a lockout and then we'll get back to you after January
15th. But is it that much different than if they just done nothing? Like, do they have to go through the motions of locking people out?
No, it's just theater.
It doesn't matter. But like
I'm really serious about this, guys. Yeah, we're really serious too. We're gonna, you know, like, we know.
Can you do your impression of the owners again?
I'm really serious about. It's better if you see it in person because
she's wiggling her arms around. Hands. Yeah, it's very.
And
like,
I think though there should be some finger pointing and
maybe somebody in a
really
monocle.
Serious about this lockout here. We're gonna
it's very Napoleon Dynamite of you.
Yeah,
I don't know
stupid.
What
super
they're
serious.
They're arguing about money, of some, I'm assuming, and so on. That week,
nobody actually knows what they're arguing about. They're just people want more money, I guess.
The owners think they're spending too much, yeah. And the players think they're not, like, they probably don't like that luxury tax mm-hmm. deal and all that sort of stuff. Whatever. That week though, before they went and got locked out. Like, people were just stealing Dodgers left and right, like, I signing know. Them, and you know, the and Seager is gone.
I've forgotten their names.
Well, they're
traitors.
Dead. They're dead to you.
Traitors.
Schertzer a traitor? Like, he wouldn't.
No,
hear that
I understand that one.
And he's gone.
He was never really a Dodger. He was just like here for a minute.
They kept Taylor and all that stuff, but like, here's the question I have: what happens to Kershaw?
Well, we don't know how bad his arm is.
Like, what is the market for him going to be? Like, because Scherzer was, you know, he was temporary. I think most people understood that. You keep Trey Turner for a while, like, you win that deal. That's a good mm-hmm. deal. And I liked it anyway. Like, that was a really good trade, and it almost worked. As, like, go for it. Great.
Kiebert? I never know how to say it.
I always say Kiebert.
I always said Kiebert, yeah.
Kiebert Ruiz and Josiah Gray didn't really turn into anything great for the Nationals. So
he might. Maybe. But they already have Will Smith's a good catcher.
We'll see.
They got a good catcher. They don't need seven good catchers. You need one.
Yeah.
And so they have that. The part, like, the thing that I can't figure out is Kershaw, and it would be very sad to me if he ends up pitching in another place next year. But at the same time, if somebody's going to throw him crazy money or something, like the Rangers, because they just want him to come home, Clayton. So, like, I'm not super emotionally invested in the Dodgers, but the idea of, like, Kershaw feels like somebody who should be a forever Dodger. And I don't like the idea of him not being a forever Dodger. Is he going to be a forever Dodger, Greg?
Yeah, it's possible. It really comes down to what he wants, like you're talking about. If he wants to be in Texas near his home in Dallas, then yeah, he's going to go home to Dallas. But it's really got to be some gigantic deal that's going to push him away, because I think for the most part, he's a very serviceable pitcher. He's going to get you 10 to 15 wins. He's going to have a low ERA. It's maybe doesn't come through in the playoffs. Maybe he does, but it's for the most part. I mean,
they don't need him to be
a
number one. He's at worst, or at best, kind of a third.
Yeah, he's a third guy now. So you could possibly, depending on who else is in front of him, maybe even a fourth. It's really just about how much money you're willing to give him and how much money he wants.
So how much money should the Dodgers give him? Given everything that he's meant to the city, all that kind of stuff, like, what's the right number that's fair to the Dodgers and is that still is like a little something for, you know, hey.
Well, it really depends on his elbow. I mean, we still haven't really gotten Greg, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I don't think anybody really got. I mean, we didn't get the update like we did with Muncy. Muncy had a torn UCL. I mean, that's pretty bad. That doesn't sound like something you want, right?
Yeah, that worries me, by the way.
Right.
The Muncy thing really worries me. A torn UCL usually means Tommy John surgery.
L stands for ligament.
Right.
If you're not familiar with the terminology, that's not something you want. I mean, he's not a pitcher. We never really got the update from Kershaw, and he's famously private about his medical history. Like,
kind of about everything.
About everything. Like, he's had a back injury for a long time, and they never quite say what it is. Like, for all we know, he could have, like, herniated disc in his back or something terrible. Like, he's never quite said what it's almost like a hockey injury report, lower extremity
injuries.
Something's wrong, and we don't really know what it is. But that's fine. It's his prerogative. It's his health, his body. But he, we don't know. Like, if he has a torn ligament in there and he can't pitch next year, that kind of affects how much money you should give him. But I think the Dodgers have been fairly consistent in saying, we want to keep him. We're going to do what we need to do to keep him, but it's up to him and where he wants to be. I personally, and this is going to sound maybe a little biased of me, but I think it should be in the same category. I think Kenley Jansen should be in the same category too.
But Jansen, though, especially, Jansen was nails last year.
Nails at the end. And he's the franchise's all-time saves leader. He's come through for you in big moments. Like, his career literally parallels Kershaw's. Clayton Kershaw in the minor leagues.
Right, but that thing, the only problem with that is, like, closers especially, that thing goes south in a hurry. And is Kenley, like, is there, I don't even know, like, do you reform yourself? You're not the closer anymore. Now you're the seventh inning guy, the eighth inning guy.
Right.
Are there a lot of templates of guys who used to be the closer and have remade themselves as a dominant eighth inning guy or seventh inning guy? Because that is arguably just as valuable as your closer, maybe not psychologically, but in terms of winning games. I'd pay for that. Well, I could live with that.
There's guys like Brian Wilson was a great closer for the Giants, and they came to the Dodgers. He had up and down
time. He fell off the end of the earth, though, before that happened.
Right, and he fell off. But Blake Treinen was the A's closer for a long time.
And then he had a terrible year.
Yeah, I mean, but closers have bad years, good years. And now he's probably, if Kenley Jansen is not back next year, Blake Treinen is probably your closer next
year. Right, but I mean, don't you feel like Kenley has done, I don't want to say just as much as Kershaw, he doesn't have Cy Youngs or anything, but he's up there in terms of, should be up to him whether he retires a Dodger. He's probably got one more contract, maybe two, but it really should be up to them and not have the decision made for them, right? Like, it should be there, and maybe it'll be a little discount from what other teams have been offering.
Sure.
But, you know.
I just want, like, with a normal baseball team, you know, you know, really, football is the most extreme in this, but baseball, I think, is right after it. Sentimentality can get you in a lot of trouble. And, you know, paying for sentimentality really gets you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not totally valueless, these kinds of things. And I assume the Dodgers will give him a decent deal, but, like, if you're the Dodgers and you have plenty of money and you're going to be spending plenty of money as it is, it's worth it. It's got to be worth a little bit extra just to keep him around.
Yeah, and by the way, they offered him a lifetime deal before he signed his $205 million contract, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. I can't remember how long ago, but it's the one before this extension.
Right,
they offered him a lifetime contract, and he said no. He said, I don't want to be the guy that signs a lifetime contract. Like, all those Bryce Harper deals, et cetera, like, those are all different now. And he didn't want to commit to being in one uniform for the rest of his life. I also think he didn't want to give up the leverage.
Right.
Like, what if the Dodgers
So it's very possible
sucked?
This matters more to me than it matters to him. Which is, by the way, very true of a lot of things with sports and athletes.
But that's what we're going to find out.
Where the fan cares more than the athlete.
Yeah, but I think that's what we're going to find out with Kershaw, because I've always felt like he should be a forever Dodger. This is his legacy. This is where he won Cy Youngs. He was best pitcher in baseball for over a decade. Like, this should be where, like, one of the things that I learned in covering Kobe from beginning of his career to the end, like, of his career, it mattered that he was a Laker his whole career.
Yes.
It really mattered.
Absolutely did.
Derek Jeter, it mattered he was a Yankee.
It mattered. It mattered that those guys.
And when you have a chance to make that your legacy, that is a special thing that very few great athletes ever get. So it says something to me when somebody has that chance and they walk away from it. Because I know, in what the Dodgers have said publicly and privately, they want to give him every chance, and they have given him every chance.
I remember when Pujols was leaving St. Louis. I grew up in St. Louis, Cardinal fan, all that kind of stuff. It was like, everybody in St. Louis was like, you can't let him go. And the Angels, that we're not doing. Like, that is absurd. And it turned out to be completely ludicrous what the Angels paid for Pujols. And it was a massive over. But, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, Greg, how important is it that they keep Kershaw next year for you, like, emotionally as a Dodger fan?
Ooh, emotionally? Like a 6.
That's lower than I would have thought.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for him to stick around, but
the Dodgers can work around a six. Yeah. If people like you were at an 8 or a 9, that's more problematic. Six is okay.
I think the highest people are going to be is a 7. I mean, I think everybody wants him to stick around. Everybody wants him to be a Dodger. But if he moves on, I don't think anybody's going to be upset. It's not going to be like, oh, man, Kershaw's gone. I mean, there'll be a little bit of it, but it's not going
to
be like...
Especially if he goes to the Rangers.
He wanted to go home. He'll disappear. Yeah. Everything he's ever had, he put it all out on the field every single time. So I don't have any issue if he ends up leaving.
Come on, Grinshaw.
Exactly.
Jorge's dad. On the podcast today, we were getting ready for the Mavericks game tomorrow. Mm. And as we all know, Luka Doncic is having a good statistical season, but not a great season from a PR standpoint. On account of being a little hefty, 260 pounds.
He's been heavy his whole career.
But he's apparently a little heavier. You know, and then by now, you got to take your fitness seriously. If you're going to be the franchise guy and the extension and all that kind of stuff. And the Mavs aren't playing very well, which is also part of it. I have a question about...
They're like 500 too.
Right, but they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be a little better than
that. I know, but the Lakers are like the same.
I'm trying to change the subject, Ramona. It's bad everywhere. It's not just the Lakers that are struggling. Okay. I have a question, though, about Luka Doncic as it relates to Anthony Davis that I want to ask you. And we'll do that next. Mason Ireland Show, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This one I get.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Never did it for me.
It's not the one about making out with Santa Claus and potentially ruining your family. When you think about it that way, it becomes much more controversial.
Not a Wham fan?
It's okay.
I mean, to talk about how, times have changed. We talked about Candace Parker earlier.
Yeah.
Like, when George Michael, came out officially, that was a
huge deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah, we're like, yeah.
And in hindsight, not have been that surprising to people. There was a moment where people were shocked. Shocked! Liberace was gay.
Yeah.
Again, dating us a little bit, but if you're old enough, you remember, this is where we are now compared to where we used to be. All right, so the Locked On Lakers podcast, which my brother and I do 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, which you download anywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh, shameless plug. Are we going to allow that here, Greg?
There's no other kind for the rest of the week, by the way.
I guess so.
What do you do, fire me again?
We talked about it ahead of time. I was like, yeah. Absolutely.
How about just on Tuesday and Thursday?
Who else are you going to find to host this slot while John is gone?
True.
There's a reason I'm back here to begin with.
True.
Yeah. So we were to have this conversation where Luka Doncic is having a rough year from a PR standpoint. So we had the Mavericks guy on, and we were talking about it. And I asked him, is there any sense that what you've seen this year makes you slightly even a little less comfortable with the idea of this is the guy that we're putting the whole thing on going forward. We're going to figure it out with this guy. Even some of the advanced numbers, they are a minus 85 with him on the floor and a plus 85 with him off the floor, stuff like that. And so I asked him,
oh, you're going to come with
the analytics.
Numbers.
That's right. The advanced numbers. And he was like, no. He's the only thing about it this year is where Luka was bulletproof before and couldn't be criticized at all is now it's, okay, you can criticize him a little bit. You can't keep showing up if you're going to be the franchise guy, 35 pounds overweight and working your way into shape every year. You just can't do that. And the tolerance for that kind of thing.
Yes,
you shouldn't.
Shaq did it.
You shouldn't. And it eventually, by the way, it shortened his career by 6 years in terms of how good he was.
Yeah, he still won 5 titles. He's okay.
But he could have won more. And if you were paying him the $30 million to, these guys are paid to be in shape.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like us showing up drunk and people knowing about it as opposed to, the way we do it.
I think that's a little bit of a leap too far.
No, it isn't. Our job is to be here sober and be able to do radio. Luka Doncic's job, if you're a professional athlete, your job is to be in shape, take care of your body, and be ready to perform physically because you have a physical job. You know? I mean, that's it would be irresponsible of us to go out if we had a big, you know, week's worth of radio and go to a concert where we're screaming all night and doing all that stuff and show up the next day and not be able to talk.
Yeah. So I have, I mean, obviously, like, it's a little more, like, every time I hear the fat stuff, I get, like, triggered because I'm like, you should see my social media, Brian. It's like,
not apples to apples. Yes. It's, I mean, people get off Ramona's social media, but not apples to apples.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, I was going to make a joke there, but let's just let that pitch go by. I think the thing with Luca is he's still really young.
Yes.
And he's had a tremendous amount of success doing it this way. And I also think this is the natural cycle of fame, and especially young ingenues, if we can use a big word there, where you come into the league, you're a revelation to everybody. They're like, how did anybody pass on you? And you're going to be the his nickname is literally Luca Magic, as in Magic Johnson.
Yes.
He's that good. He is so
correct,
freaking good.
And even this year, like when he's a down year for Luka,
he's just been
25,
hurt,
8-8, basically.
Yeah, but also because Austin Rivers rolled into his leg the same way, who was the guy, Solomon Hill rolled into LeBron's leg. It was like a very similar play.
Yes.
And Luka came back after 6 or 7 games because he loves to play, and he was totally not ready, and he keeps having these setbacks because his ankle got rolled up on him. It was not like he didn't get hurt because he's overweight.
Right. But the underperformances, again, you know, the complaining of the refs, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But that's why the answer was no, we're still on Team Luka here. It's just that he's no longer beyond any kind of criticism.
That's right. That's what happened, though.
That is, by the way, the correct answer to that question.
It's what, year 3 or year 4 for him?
4, I want to say.
Okay, but so that's about when you start to take a more critical eye to young stars. You go, oh, Trae Young is awesome, but could be better on defense. Oh, Luka is great, but could lose a little weight.
Right, because you're trying to figure out, you know, there are 5 or 6 or 7 guys in the league where you look at it and say, you can win a title if that's your best player.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out who that person is. And like that list can change depending on who's the second best player on that team. Makes a massive difference. But generally speaking, we have this sort of list in our head as basketball fans where we say, can you win a title if that guy is your best player? Paul George, he's like right on that line.
Right.
Probably not, maybe unless you have a great second, you know, Kawhi Leonard, yes. And if Paul George is your second, you can absolutely. So Luka, you know, you want to make sure if you're a Mavs fan that the answer to that question is yes. Here's my question, though. Is the answer yes with Anthony Davis? Because the long-term plan with the Lakers is that LeBron eventually retires as Anthony Davis gets into his, you know, and, you know, they probably add another star because that's what the Lakers do. But theoretically, this is supposed to become Anthony Davis's team. Is Anthony Davis the guy who you can win if he's your best player?
I would say
because that's the parallel.
Yeah, I know. That's where you're going with this. I think you can win a title if Luka Doncic is your best player. I don't know that you can say the same with Anthony Davis, and that's not necessarily a huge indictment on Anthony, but I don't, like, he's big and has not shown, like, there was a moment where you would have a spirited discussion over who you'd want to start a franchise with, Anthony Davis or Giannis. They were similar draft class or similar age.
It's less spirited now.
Similar position, right?
Yes,
sort of a power forward who can shoot and handle the ball. Giannis has more guard skills, I would say. He's more of a point forward than Anthony Davis. But like Anthony Davis could have become that type of player. He does have some pretty good guard skills. I just think Giannis has passed him up. That's it. I mean, it's.
But even like Embiid. Like Embiid is not. You can't, like, Joel Embiid can't give himself the ball.
Right. I mean, that's part of being a big in today's NBA.
But you feel Embiid. This is the thing with AD.
I think you can win a title with Embiid as your best player.
I agree.
If you surround him almost the way, like, Orlando used to play with Dwight.
Yeah, five out.
Yeah, four out.
Four out, five with your five in the middle.
Right. And but like, Embiid can also be one of the people who are out. You just have to have the right four people around him.
And that's why the Ben Simmons thing has been problematic. You can figure that out. But, like, what's funny about AD and what's frustrating about AD and what reminded me of Luka is like Luka's statistical output this year is excellent. Like if you have him on your fantasy team, maybe you're a little disappointed because you drafted him 2nd or 3rd and he's performing as the 9th best, but like it's pretty good. AD's statistical output this year is fine. It's like there's nothing wrong with his numbers. But like you hear James Worthy talk about this on Spectrum, Andy and I talk about it on the podcast a lot. It's like, there's a difference between a 22-point game where they're not all created equal. Sometimes you feel like a 25-point game, you're like, how the hell did he get 20? I don't remember a single thing that they did on their way to 25. Doesn't mean the 25 don't matter. They count. There's too much of that with AD, because the moments where you feel him, the playoffs in the bubble, different games scattered throughout the year, whatever, you're like, holy bleep, that is a different thing. Mm-hmm. That takes you back to those conversations about Giannis. And I LeBron's got to be great for the Lakers to win. He's probably got to be greater than the Lakers want him to have to be for the Lakers to win. Russ has to be really good for the Lakers to win. Somebody else is going to have to. This whole thing is kind of set up for Anthony Davis to dominate. And it's not happening yet.
No.
And it makes me worry both about this year and about what comes going forward, because they put a lot on that.
Yeah. I mean, when he played as well as he did in the bubble, I think he came out of that 2020 season feeling, okay, that's the guy. He's your MVP candidate next year. He's the guy going forward. And his body proceeded to fall apart, and he couldn't really, you know, like he hasn't got it back together since. I mean, you've seen these little glimpses of him getting it back together, but it hasn't been enough of AD on the court consistently in a way that he can dominate. But I still see those flashes. It just hasn't been consistent.
And it's so frustrating because it's there. And I think he has enormously high expectations for himself. But he's also a little bit limited, I think, by that feeling of like, I got to make the right play. I got to be, you know, kind of fit into a role. Like he doesn't, the inherent selfishness that comes with it, F it, I'm just going to dominate. This is my game. I'm going to come, you know, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, the next 8 minutes are going to be mine.
But I see him do that sometimes.
Sometimes.
Like he can.
Sometimes.
So I always think when you talk about great players, there's a lot of people who fall into the category of like, could be an all-time great, could be one of the best in the game, could be an MVP, and don't actually achieve that. Like we've been saying, Luka's going to win an MVP, and Luka's going to win a title. It's going to be the Luka Doncic. He may.
But he may not.
But there's a difference with like when you have that kind of talent, the difference between being an all-time great with three rings and a couple MVPs and being a really good player from your generation who's gotten close a few times, it's actually not as big a difference as you think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like let's say Carmelo Anthony. What is the you could make an argument to me, and I've made this argument before, like if you would have given Carmelo Anthony the same setup that Kobe Bryant had throughout his career, to where Kobe switches places. Like, let's just say they switch places. He's drafted by the Nuggets. Kobe's with the Nuggets. Carmelo's with the Lakers. Like, how different is Carmelo's career? Could he have won all those rings with Shaq? Could he have won those rings? Like, you could make an argument that
you this. I asked Kobe once, you know, if they in New Jersey had not been, you know, done the Jedi mind trick and had it work, and then like, you know, and they drafted you, would you have won five titles? Yeah, figure it out. No, but that's not true.
I actually think he would have.
I don't think
so. And
that
to me is the difference.
But yeah, you know, context.
Because I think people like Kobe, people like LeBron, come hell or high water, they will do whatever it takes.
He would have won a title. He would have won. I'm not saying
maybe
he would have
not
been
five,
titleist.
But he would have won.
It would have been different.
Because he would have moved people around. He would have got himself out of there. He would have forced a trade. Like I think there's certain people who cannot exist unless they are great. And then there are certain people who are great but find a way to exist without winning.
Right.
Right?
It's true. It's time now, though, next to engage in my favorite kind of speculation. Wild and irresponsible
speculation. Like fun.
I know. We also have jump ball, which might, by the way, preempt wild speculation for 10 or 15 minutes. But it's coming. The wild speculation is coming. Right, Greg?
It absolutely is. Let's do it at three.
Oh, we'll do wild speculation at three.
Jump also, it's ball. My lie of the day. So listen to see if I've already told the lie. I don't know. I might have. I can't remember.
The part where you talked about being the undersecretary for commerce during the Reagan administration.
Right.
That felt like a lie to me.
That did? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's also my game of the day.
Oh, God. This is a lot of Momo.
It's a lot of Momo.
Yeah.
But you know why? It's because I was so right yesterday.
Yeah.
So right. Can we play that sound again?
We can.
No, don't.
But
don't
first,
do it.
But first, Ramona, I want to tell you about ZipRecruiter.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, because this past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. For example, NBA teams featured digital fans in the stands to watch games virtually and pump up the players. When it comes to Ramona's over there, and that worked. Coming up next, Jump Ball, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, so this morning on KJM, that's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max from 6 to 10 a.m. daily on 710
Is that what we call it now?
I'm glad that you clarified that. I did not know what you were talking
about.
I thought it was like an FM radio station that you were referring to.
I just wanted to make sure you
got it. KJM, the wave.
Is that what the youth call that show?
Yeah, it's KJM. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, Max.
So like every day when I'm dropping off the kids and I drive by Hollywood High, if I like pulled over and be like, hey guys, did you catch KJM this morning?
Yeah.
They'd be like, yes, I did. And here's what
they talked
about.
On the way to school.
On the way
about
to school.
The Wooft. Do you know Wooft?
Nope.
Wooft? WFT?
WFT. It's the Washington Football Team.
Oh, yeah. I do know that.
We like to shorten things around here. Yeah. All right. Anyway, Keyshawn was talking about how linebacker, defensive end Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys can lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl by himself. They then talked about how Ryan Clark said that the Cowboys cannot win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as the quarterback.
Something's got to give.
Yes. So who's right here? Can you win a Super Bowl based on one defensive player?
And which guy are we talking about again?
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons
probably defensive player here.
Quarterback.
No.
Because if you could do both, that might bridge the gap between the two of them.
Nope. Bad take. Nope.
Well, I tell you what, that's not going to get me on KJM on any day soon.
Or This Just In. Did you know that's what the Kellerman Show is called? This Just In?
Yeah.
What?
He has a show, a TV show.
On our network?
Yeah, on ESPN. It's called This Just In. I didn't know the name of it because they don't ever ask me to be on, you know? And
how dare they?
This just handed to me.
This Just In. I only saw it because I was walking through the building and I was like, what's this show? Oh, is this the Kellerman Show? Yeah, okay.
That is not a good name for a television show. You think so?
Yeah, it was probably hastily come up with.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Max and I are good, but I think what happened is Raj used to always reach out to me to come on the show, and I would always say yes. And then I'm not answering your question about Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott, whatever. Too.
The answer is no, unless that guy's your quarterback.
So we'll go to the next question.
No, I was just trying to tell.
Your quarterback
can
lead you.
But Raj doesn't produce Max anymore, and so therefore Max doesn't say, "Hey, I got to get Ramona on the show." So I don't blame Max.
So this question about KJM,
but I am upset about it.
Football and the Cowboys turned into Ramona complaining that she's not on Max Kellerman's new oddly titled television show.
Yeah. No, but I am. Like, I'm a little hurt. Max was my buddy.
I'm sorry.
You know?
Wow.
Max,
maybe you should have returned his text about the Raider game.
It wasn't him.
Okay.
It was a different friend. But, like, Max is my guy. And I'm like, Max, what's up? You have a whole show? And, like, there's never a, hey, Momo, want to come on the show? No? Yeah. I guess it was maybe just Raj all those times.
Maybe he's listening and he'll be on it soon.
He's definitely not listening.
Well, he's in New York. So, anyway, so remember when Steve Harvey messed up the Miss Universe pageant in 2015?
Yeah, still a great night. Yeah.
Well, it almost happened again.
No.
Congratulations, Portugal.
No.
Yes. Well, y'all said Portugal. They wrote Portugal on the damn sign trying to play me again. They tried to get me again, but I'm not going for it this year. Congratulations, Paraguay. They had Portugal on the damn sign. I looked dead at it. Y'all saw it. Don't try to blame this on me this year. Ladies, Paraguay and India, please step forward.
So India ended up winning.
Yes, I know that one because the woman who won is gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely.
Like Priyanka Chopra, like, has nothing on her.
So Miss
God,
India?
She's gorgeous. Miss
India,
yes.
Yeah. Miss
oh
Universe. She's Miss Universe now.
Be prepared for her to star in the next great action movie or whatever she can do because she's unbelievable.
So how did Steve Harvey handle it? Did he handle it the right way?
She is a fetching
lady.
Because did he actually kind of screw up? He looked over there and saw that it was
Paraguay. It's not his fault.
Did they write it wrong, or he just started with a P and did his own little?
All I know is what he said. It said Portugal. You saw it. It said Portugal. But he knew by looking at them that it was Paraguay and India.
I mean, maybe he just thought Portugal was.
I like the
worthy.
Story better if somebody tried to mess with him. I like it better that if one of the writers tried to make him look bad again, because that was funny.
God, I could make such an obscure movie joke. What if he wrote Parador?
Nobody gets
that movie, right?
Nope.
You know,
no,
that's why I didn't make
it. Nope. That's like one of those ones that should stay in the holster.
Yep. Stay in there.
Tell your wife later.
I actually, I'll do another one during the break because I have a story about that that I think would have been really effective 4 years ago. Yeah, I mean, if he didn't write it down, like, look, you know this as well as I mean. People who sit and do what we do read what is on the card. We read what is on the paper. If you write Portugal, we're going to read Portugal. Mm-hmm. If you write read at 30 seconds somewhere inside the read that you want us to do and during the break, we're going to read that part along with the advertiser.
I guarantee you it did not say Portugal on the paper. He just saw a word and said Portugal because it was like from the last time.
He just
and then
every
he looked over and saw the girl wearing
Portugal?
The pair. Yeah. He just made somebody else look bad for his own mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? Yeah. What do you got, Jorge?
What you got? Oh, you
I'm grabbing the reins, man. I'm like Carrie Underwood over here. Take the wheel.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jorge.
All right, so Thanksgiving is big on dinner, right? So do you guys do anything for Christmas night or Christmas Eve?
Oh, good question to the two Jews.
Make it three.
To the three Jews.
All right, well, look, the people out there, whatever.
Actually, we do. We totally do.
He asked about Christmas Eve, not Christmas Day, because the obvious answer there is Chinese food.
Right.
I do all of the above. On Christmas. Everybody knows that.
That's not true. I don't.
Do you do actual Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
saying the Jews who don't do that.
My family is definitely Jewish. However, we do Christmas because my dad is not, and he grew up with Christmas. And my parents were like, "Well, let's just do both." So we do Hanukkah and Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, we do something. We always got together to do the night before Christmas, and I am still the person who writes the letter to Santa and leaves something out. Although I used to plan for this better and like actually bring something. And now I'm like, what do we got in the fridge? Have some oat milk and some pretzels. we don't have anything. But I do write a letter. And in the morning, my mom gets up and she always makes us breakfast on Christmas morning. And it's always fried egg sandwiches. And then it's always blueberry pancakes. And she does like a whole spread on Christmas morning because generally speaking, I have to cover an NBA game later that day. And so she just makes like a big, gigantic Christmas morning thing. But the problem is now that we have children, mm-hmm. there's just no way to be on a schedule. And
also
so
true.
All of the breakfast gets really cold because we don't get there on time and it gets cold and you're just eating like cold egg, fried egg sandwiches and blueberry pancakes. But yeah, there's a tradition, Jorge.
We have Christmas because my wife is Catholic, so we do Christmas.
Oh, a
whole
thing.
Yeah, and it's like we have people over, and I think this year my wife wants to do an Italian feast, so an Italian-style Christmas, which I'm kind of on board with.
That sounds good.
That sounds really good. And because the Lakers are playing, we only do our show Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers are playing on a Saturday,
ooh.
I don't have to – I mean, I'm going to watch the game because I want to watch the game, but I don't have to, like, do anything.
Yeah.
So it's like Christmas, watch basketball, then kind of move along.
Mm-hmm.
Move it along.
Yeah. What about you, Greg?
That'll do it. That'll do it for today. I don't do anything on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Go get Chinese food.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. Chinese food is a must-have every Christmas Day. It's the only thing open.
I'm not making this up.
No, it's the only thing open. It is literally the only thing open.
Right.
No, there's like way more things open.
No, there's not. Not on Christmas Day? Absolutely
not. Yeah, you can get Postmates
not.
From like lots of places.
No. Have you been able to, Brian?
Well, since I married my
wife. No, not really.
You don't have to. No, exactly, Sean McVay.
Yeah. What do you think of that jump ball segment? Is that your first time doing it?
What?
What do you think of the jump ball segment?
Well, if you would have answered the question about a defensive player leading a team to a
Super
Bowl, I kind of
lost track after you turned it into a Festivus segment where you were airing your grievances about Max.
Can I be hurt?
No,
Max,
you are, and I understand.
Hasn't called?
It's just you just hijacked
my
segment.
Guy.
This is sort of my first time leading this, and I was
you're very
excited.
Mad at me today, Momo.
I'm not mad at you.
No, let's go, Brian. We can break.
Yeah. it's time for wild trade speculation, right?
Oh, fun.
That's the best kind. Irresponsible speculation.
Just don't get me aggregated.
All right. We'll see what we can do. Coming up next, Mason Ireland Show, Brian Kamenetsky and Ramona Shelburne in 710 ESPN.